Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Your data is like gold to hackers, and they'll sell it to the highest bidder. Are you protected? McAfee helps shield you, blocking suspicious texts, malicious emails, and fraudulent websites. McAfee Secure VPN lets you browse safely, and its AI-powered tech scam detector spots threats instantly. You'll also get up to $2 million of award-winning antivirus and identity theft protection, all for just $39.99 for your first year. Visit McAfee.com. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Let me break it down for you again.
With guest host, Susie Schuster.
You're a legend in this business.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hello, Rich Eisen.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Rich Eisen. Oh, that's Susie Eisen Hudson.
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, host of the Business of Sports podcast, Andrew Brandt, writer and comedian Sarah Tiana, plus latest news and more. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
That's right, Susie Schuster back in the chair for my husband Rich Eisen, who's at the Indianapolis Combine working 3,500 hours a day, trying to bring to you every single one of the guys showing up and working out and running and lifting and talking and doing all those crazy things that the kids do at the Combine. Rich will not run. People keep saying, when's he going to run? I'm like, guys, he hasn't run there in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a few years.
Runs here at the Rose Bowl, which is always just a wonderful day filled with St. Jude's children and families and Cage Brockman, et cetera.
Cage was a star last year.
Cage is always a star. Harbaugh was our special guest, and he rallied everybody. Jim was incredible, and that's where Rich will run the 40, in case you're out there really wondering. But hi to everybody on the Roku Sports Channel, on the Infinity Sports Network. 844-204-RICH is the number to call. As I look through all my notes on my desk, because God knows I'm not organized this morning. Guys, big morning at the Combine.
What's up?
Hi, Chris Brockman.
You want to say hi to all of us first?
Chris, I know you're here just for like the, you know, just for the camaraderie. I wanted to talk to the audience.
I'm here to hang.
It is Mimosa Friday. Let me say hi to TJ first, because he's got a bottle of champagne. Hi, TJ. I brought you fresh squeezed orange juice.
You sure did.
And some Prosecco.
We got some, it's going to be a good day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I Ubered to work today, so we can take this straight
to
bed.
Yeah, you did. And the candle is
That's
lit.
That's why you were early.
Which I always appreciate. The candle is lit. Jay Felly, one of my new comrades.
Wow.
Hey, I'm ready too.
Don't make me walk over there and slap you, because I will slap you across that face of yours, all right? All right? Don't make me go over there. Don't make me get out of this car.
Don't make her slap the face
off
your lips.
You can tell we're both from New England, because our first thought was like, don't make me get out of this car.
Come over there.
I will pull this car. By the way, I have pulled the car over. Suddenly I turned into my dad. I have pulled the car over on those kids. I'm like, you're going to walk home. Xander's like, you're not going to make me walk. I have pulled the car over though.
I don't buy it. Well, yeah, no, I take that back. I do believe you pulled the car over.
I have pulled the car over.
I was going to say, you know what I like most about watching the Combine coverage is that they're always whispering. It's like...
it's golf coverage.
It's like Nance at 18 Tower at Augusta.
And by the way, not like they can hear you down there.
Now the three cone drill. Yeah, right. Like, who cares? Just talk in your normal voice.
Yeah, by the way, they can't hear you down there. The music is
blaring.
They're
playing music now. There's fans.
It's so loud.
Yeah.
I was busy trying to say hi to my friend, my comrade, Jay Felly from Women's Sports Now.
You. Comrade.
But whatever.
Comrade.
Hey.
See, stop it.
You feel good about yourself?
That's what he said.
I know, but I didn't say it. You're going to say it too many times and something else is going
to
come out.
Bring more attention to it, all right, Slappy? Bring more attention to it. I hope you guys are having a good morning out there. Afternoon, wherever you are, go home. Your better half's coming in. Phil and I had burritos.
We're ready to go.
Burritos this morning? That's disgusting. It's like, it's barely nine.
Breakfast burritos.
I mean, there are eggs in it.
Eggs and bacon and things.
I mean, really. I did bring donuts too, but by the way, not for you, fatty. Don't eat them over.
Wow.
Oh my God, the Infinity Sports Network. We're like, who's sitting in the chair for Rich today? Guys, here's the great news. I can't get fired. So anyway, great to be with all of you. 844-204-RICH is the number to call. And can we stop with all this stuff and start talking sports, please? Because I'm here to talk about the combine.
You started it.
Hey, no, you did.
You started you the did. Super
you
team,
are.
Bro.
You are. Do you know what's so funny? Total non sequitur, but I was talking to... In that vein, I was talking to a woman last night that I've been working with and mentoring who went to my all-girls school, Windsor, in Boston. And we were talking about Mia Hamm last night because she's an upcoming sports journalist. My first thing I thought about was Noma.
Noma.
Right?
Noma.
Yeah.
One of the most embarrassing moments of my adult life. TJ was there to witness it. Nomar and I have the same birthday. And we once were on the same flight back from Pittsburgh. Coming
Please
home.
Please don't tell coming, me.
Coming home from the Pro Football Hall of Fame one year.
Oh my God.
And he was working for the Dodgers. I think he still does. They were coming back from Pittsburgh. They had a series. And TJ and I were connecting to come back. And it was 6 in the morning, super early flight. And Nomar was sitting a couple rows in front of me. And I just went, Nomar, huge fan. He's like, oh, cool. We have the same birthday. And he goes, happy belated. And that was the end of the conversation.
Oh my God, that's amazing. And it was the end of the conversation because he's like, you're a loser. You are a loser.
Like, yeah, dude. And then I started doing the batting stance in the aisle. No, I'm just kidding.
No, ma.
It was pretty bad.
I've seen people do that to Kevin Youkilis. They walk up to him and they start waggling the bat. And it's like, dude, what? He's not a dancing monkey. I mean, like, what's he supposed to do? Like, waggle back at you?
Duke, Tom Brady's brother-in-law.
I know. Isn't that weird?
All right. Can we talk about sports?
Jeez. I mean, honestly. I mean,
that is sports.
I've been trying for sports. 6 minutes.
Listen.
Is that right? Why don't you unbutton your shirt and relax?
Oh, now you sound like the YouTube commenters.
Sarah Tiana, guys, is actually coming to the show. Sarah Tiana, one of my co-anchors from Women's Sports Now, and she said to me yesterday, I like when you're on the show because you and Chris have this brother-sister back and forth. I'm like, no, I just basically get into it with him. He's like, well, that's the definition of a brother-sister relationship.
This has been going on for 13 years now.
So long. I mean, way too long. Whatever. I digress. So Sarah's going to be here. Andrew Brandt is in studio. That will be fun as well. Tom Pelissero will join us from the Combine, and maybe Rich will. Maybe we'll let him zoom in. But we're excited because it is Mimosa Friday. You do know that I will empty out all the banks. And I love it. You guys are already calling in. Makes me feel really good. Cam Ward. Let's start with Cam Ward. Then we're going to get to the star of the day, which is clearly Shedeur Sanders. Cam Ward, of course, sounds like he is saying a lot of good things about the Browns.
Ooh.
Just holding people accountable. I'm not no rah-rah guy. At this point in your career in the NFL, you shouldn't need somebody to motivate you every day. You got to be self-motivated. That's the type of person I am. That's the type of leader I am. So I just think, you know, what I can bring to a franchise, you know what the player can bring that.
All right. Well, that wasn't the one I thought it was going to be, so that's totally my fault. That's him on leadership. But he definitely was courting the Browns this morning, saying really nice things about the Browns. Obviously, he's not throwing there. He's going to wait for his pro day. And it's interesting. I mean, you're going to see a lot of these guys be very smart about what they have to say and start marketing themselves as best that they can. And there's a different level of sophistication with it this year. It just seems like a lot of guys, and I'm talking to you, Shedeur Sanders, are telling people exactly who they are and not holding back at all. Here is Shedeur on his ability to be a franchise-changing quarterback.
That's the plan. If that's not what you're trying to do, don't get me. If you ain't trying to change the franchise or the culture, don't get me. So you should know history repeats itself over and over and over, and I've done it over and over and over, so it should be no question why an NFL franchise should pick me. I've been through 6 different OCs, you know, so I'm able to adjust to any offense and every scheme and make it work. We went from Jackson State to Colorado and change two programs back to back. So you don't think I could come to an NFL franchise and change a program again? It's history. We've done it again. It's always going to repeat itself.
Wow, he is writing big checks.
He is a chip off the old block, right, TJ?
It is so confidence, funny, man. TJ. Yeah. It sounds like Deion, right? He looks like Deion. He walks like Deion. He sounds like Deion.
Well, he's part of Deion.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're going to get that. The kid has, I don't know if you guys remember, Deion and his family used to do a reality show years ago.
Yep.
And so Shador was about 13 years old when this was happening. If you ever go back and you watch this show, you're going to see the most confident 13-year-old person you've literally ever seen in your life. Like, this kid at 12, 13 was just, he had the confidence of a grown-ass man. And it shows right there. This dude is confident in himself. And that's going to turn people off, because when people aren't confident, other people who are confident tend to rattle their cage for some reason. Mm-hmm. But if you want a kid who's going to sit there and stare into the spotlight and not flinch, you know, like, that's your kid. He's gotten beat up at Colorado, and he never backed down. He stood in that pocket, and he took what was coming, and, you know, he did his thing. So, look, I'm excited for Shador's future, and I'm hoping nothing but the best for him. Because, like I said, I saw that little kid on TV, and I went, if me as an older male had that much confidence in myself, there's no telling where I'd be right now. So that's half of the game right there. You got to believe. If you don't believe, who else is going to believe in?
I think you're 100% right. I'm 100% rooting for him as well, not just because we love Deion, but because I want to support any of these kids who are coming out. And I think that it's really bizarre, TJ. I'm from South Dartmouth, Massachusetts originally, right? Tiny town, you know, the armpit of Massachusetts, if you will, next to New Bedford.
Is that near Dorchester?
Not far.
Okay.
Actually, like, I mean, my high school was not far from Dorchester at all. And I didn't know a famous person. I didn't know a famous person, in, like, except for, like, Bobby Orr or Terry O'Reilly.
But Larry Bird.
Robert Parrish. Like, jeez. I'm a Boston kid. Celebrities were athletes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I see these kids out here in Los Angeles. I see these kids at my kid's school, and it's how hard and strange it must be. Yes, there's tons of privilege, but for your parents to be so famous, like, it's not normal. And I think you're right. Shador Sanders was, he didn't ask for it. He was thrust into the spotlight because of his family. They've done an incredible job raising him. And he can handle the spotlight. I mean, I'd love to see him go to New York, because I can't think of a quarterback who could handle the spotlight quite like he could there. But you're 100% right. It's not a normal way to grow up. And as we look at him out there talking, and he's got rows of diamonds, and he's super confident, there will be haters just because he's standing there being a confident young man. And I have no problems with it, because very few of us in life can relate to the way he has been raised. Here is Shador Sanders on the critics that might go after him for a hate for his family.
Yeah, it was easy meeting with people, because I'm going to just be myself. So it's like, you either like it or you don't. So that's why when people say I'm not, you know, one of the top quarterbacks or the top quarterback, is what are y'all going based off of? Because I did it year after year after year, and you see the progression. So it's like, obviously, it got to be some type of external hate that you have for the family, for the last name, for anything, because I know I proved myself on the field.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't begrudge a single second of confidence for this kid. You never really quite know what you're going to get, and I think, Chris, you'd probably agree. You see these kids playing in college, and yes, the college game is getting bigger, faster, stronger. They're playing in really advanced schemes. We're seeing the college is real competitive, but until you get a kid out there playing with, as Rich would say, grown-ass men out there, you're not quite sure what you're going to get. You hope. I mean, did anybody think Jaden Daniels was going to be the talk on everybody's lips of what you really want? Yeah, he was. He's at the top of the draft, but until you get these guys playing in the field, you're not quite sure, and what he's saying is, trust me.
Yeah, he's asking a lot of these franchises to say, let me turn you around. Let me take you from worst to first. I want to duplicate what C.J. Stroud did in Houston and what Jaden Daniels did in Washington. And you can't really argue with Shador, T.J., when he says, look at the tape, mm-hmm. look at the numbers, look what I've done year after year at Jackson State and now at Colorado. He was awesome last year. He led the Big 12 in completions, attempts, completion percentage, yards, touchdowns, yards per game, passer rating. He was eighth in the Heisman Trophy list. He helped his teammate win the Heisman mm-hmm. Trophy by what Travis Hunter did on both sides of the ball, especially, you know, obviously on offense, getting him the ball. He's tough. I think that's his best attribute.
That
plays. He's out there every game. Mm-hmm. He played behind, I think, even the most staunch of Colorado fan would admit, one of the worst offensive lines the last 2 years in college football. He took every hit. He never missed a play. He never missed a game. He was out there playing, and he took it. He's a leader. Whether you don't like how if you perceive him as braggadocious or because of who his father is, that's a YP.
Yeah.
That's a you problem. He's going to come into this league. Now, look, would he have been one of the top picks of last year's draft? No, but he's in this year's draft, and he can only control that. You're going to get a guy who's going to go out there and play and lead from the front, and he's a guy that can be the face of your franchise. Now, do you think that's worth the first overall pick in the draft, second, third? That's for you to figure out, but he's going to be able to do it, and he's got the confidence in himself, and I think that's a great first step.
Absolutely. He is not afraid. Let's hear one more soundbite from him on his best traits as a quarterback.
No, it's extremely important to keep your mental in the best place because that's where my game is played. My game's not played from my legs and not even just my arm. So I know longevity to all-time greats. What's Tom Brady's best trait? His mental. He's able to think. So if you have those traits of greatness and I know where I'm heading, then why wouldn't a franchise pick me? You got the ultimate cheat code.
Ultimate cheat code. TJ?
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier, and you weren't sure about what the cheat code was. And, you know, like, it goes back to video game playing, you know, anything that gives someone a significant advantage, Jay, over their competitors. You know, we used to have Contra back in the day. Remember, Chris, the up, down, you know,
that was a
cheat code. And for Shador, I think he's saying the cheat code is because mentally he knows what it takes because he's studied under. I don't know. Do people realize Tom Brady's been mentoring Shador for years? Like, that's the voice, not just his dad's voice. That's the voice that's been in Shador's head has been Tom Brady. That's why I feel like him going to the Raiders would be kind of cool because he can continue that relationship. But yeah, him being a human cheat code just means he feels he has that advantage because he already has that part understood.
And, you know, I'll tell you, I don't have insider information, but I know Dion, and I know that this guy is going to do everything in his power to have his kid ready at the highest level.
Oh,
and he's, good morning, Mimosa Friday. Yeah.
By the way, that just popped. I didn't even touch
that.
You didn't touch that.
Did you notice that? It just popped.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the power of your cheat code.
Goodness gracious.
I like it.
Well, might as well put this bottle to use now.
I know. God
scared us to death.
Saying while you were starting to get liquored up, what I was trying to say was, if there's anybody who's going to put his kid in a position to succeed at the next level, it is Deion Sanders. And this is not about putting your money where your mouth is or squawking off or whatever it is. This kid's going to be ready physically. This kid's going to be ready mentally. And this kid's going to play to the very best of his abilities. And if I'm a franchise out there that needs a quarterback and needs a leader and needs a marketing tool and needs someone to sell shirts and needs someone to have
jerseys
and needs someone to have a dad out there in the biggest name in college football right now with Marshall Faulk on his right and with Warren Sapp on his left, I'm going to take Shador Sanders. And I'm just going to hope for the best because I think this kid has the potential to be dazzling, just as dazzling as the diamonds around his neck that I would like to borrow and throw on right now because that is a very sweet necklace he's got on. Right. Anyway, Tom Pelissero is going to join us. Let's talk about the combine. Let's see what his Starbucks order is. I think that'll be the first thing that we ask him. Hey, Tom, Tommy P, what do you get at Starbucks?
Tom might be a coffee bean guy, you know?
Yeah. Do you think? Yeah. So up next, Tom Pelissero joins us from Indianapolis.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Ooh, got a dash light on? The AutoZone free Fix Finder service can read your check engine, ABS, and other warning lights to help you find the fix. You'll get an easy-to-read report with clear next steps. And we can recommend a trusted local shop if you need one. It's the most complete free warning light report backed by technician-verified fixes. The free Fix Finder service with shop referral. Only at AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
In the NFL, there's no margin for error. As we just saw, one mistake can change the outcome of a game and a season, and the biggest game at that. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. And that's why Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, because they provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Imagine what it can do for you. I know. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but guess what? It makes the world of difference. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. And now save 40% on the new Sleep Number Special Edition smart bed. Limited time, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See store or sleepnumber.com for details. Can you just clean that up, please, sir? Thank you. Let's talk TurboTax, people. You might be sitting there going, wait a minute, Rich. I don't get it. It's not April. Why am I thinking about my taxes now? Why should I? Because with TurboTax, you can have an expert file for you as soon as today. You get a TurboTax expert's undivided attention when you use TurboTax, and they work on your return in real time. Once upon a time, taxes is all about waiting and wondering and worrying. That's three things any fellow football fan can relate to, right? But nowadays, it's all about a TurboTax expert giving your taxes their undivided attention, just like your fantasy league waiver wire. Experts file with 100% accuracy so you can get your best return guaranteed. Know how it's all working for you right now rather than finding out at the last second and wondering if the person who's doing it for you knows what they're doing. With TurboTax, they've got an expert who knows what they're doing all the time. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. You were 29 when this first started. Now you're in your mid-40s, getting all rocked up like you did.
Yeah.
In this, do we need to test you, Matt? Did you take?
No, I should have. That might have made it easier. There's not, in my experience, there's not. You know, if you're not going to take anything, which I'm not, there's no. It's the same workout that it was when I was 29. It's just, you know, it's just a very strict diet, 2 days in the gym, and it's, you know, there's no. It's just all work. Like there's no. You know,
right.
There's no shortcut.
And then just so you just cut out what? Sugars, meat.
By the end, it's like
fascinated
by the end,
it's
just protein and vegetables and no carbs at all and just, you know, two workouts a day. And I mean, it was a lot of work.
For how many weeks, months did you have to do that?
Well, I was in shape. I got in shape for The Martian and then yeah. for this movie I did in China. And then about 10 weeks out, I kind of ramped up even more. And so it was to try to get under, you know, down below 8 than like 7% body fat. It was more about body fat than like weight.
So when you were done shooting, what was the first meal that you had when you're done shooting?
Oh man,
knowing,
I mean,
you
no, for me it's Italian food. But you know, pasta and you know, bread, pasta, red wine,
chicken
like,
parm.
Yeah.
Like
oh
a
my god.
Situation.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah. That's the thing. That's what kills me. My kids love to eat that. So like sometimes when we order out, we'll get this, you know, this chicken parm and this parm and this pink pasta that they like, and
right.
it's just like. You know, plating it for them,
yeah.
it's just like, you know, I start shaking.
I'm just wondering if the Boston and you just came out, I think I just heard chicken palm.
I didn't say chicken palm. I didn't say chicken palm.
I thought you just said that. Just
I like did. I said chicken, but I forgot the R. It just, wasn't that it
hey,
was.
Hey, I'm the same way, you know, and when I go back to the old school days. Of
I love I chicken up. Palm, Rich.
Oh my goodness. I mean, by the way, chicken palm, that's like Rich's favorite dish. Chicken palm. And there's no way that Matt Damon didn't say chicken palm.
He did.
And then
he quickly corrected himself.
He loves a little bit of chicken palm. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And stop by like Tom Pelissero stopping by, and he's giving us a little bit of time. Looking good over there. How are you this morning?
Doing fantastic, Susie. Just got back from the combine yesterday because once they, you know, once they're actually talking about players on the field doing drills, that's right where my expertise runs out. So I was there for the lead up, all the news, and now glad to be here with you and my boys back there in the studio.
Tommy P! Tommy. Hey,
Tom. Let's go!
What up, G?
Did you hit the Starbucks on the way back this morning?
You know, the funny thing is, it's not, everybody keeps saying, you know, it was at the Starbucks. It's not like a Starbucks the way that you would think about that. It's not like a self-contained building. It's basically a counter on the second floor of one of the hotels in downtown Minneapolis. It's always packed. It's just like a go-between. It's right in the skywalk there. And I had bolted for dinner about 5 minutes before, so I missed all the fun.
Yeah, I was just wondering if perhaps you got a little bit of... residual? You know, Fight Club residual. If you got a little, you know, a little something extra to see while you got your cocoa powder or your brown sugar latte.
This is one of those times, Susie, that I'm glad I'm more of a tea guy.
Me too, Tom.
Okay, you're not going to play with this one. Fine. You're no fun. Stafford, what's the latest?
Matthew Stafford and the Rams are talking again today. This has been going on for several weeks now. You know, really good since the end of the season when it became apparent just like a year ago that Matthew Stafford was going to want a new deal to come back to the Rams. Last year, it took all the way up to the start of training camp before they were able to work something out. This time around, you know, the thinking was they're not on the same page in terms of what the market value should be for Matthew Stafford. That's why, as I first said on the show a week ago, you know, they had given his agent, Jimmy Sexton, permission to talk to other clubs and basically figure out, okay, if it's a trade or if it's to come back to the Rams, like what should a Matthew Stafford contract look like? And so his agents talked to a bunch of different teams. The Rams have also, from what I'm told, engaged with those teams, figured out what, you know, the trade compensation would look like. But, you know, the reality is if you reduce this to football and what's the best chance for Matthew Stafford to have success as a football player in 2025, it's hard to argue the Giants in a division with the Super Bowl champs and Washington and Dallas, or the Raiders in a division with, you know, some of the best coaches and quarterbacks there are in football, that gives you a better opportunity than with the Rams and a, you know, a defense that's really talented up front, some young playmakers like Puka Nacua and Kyron Williams, even with Cooper Kupp on his way out of town, that's not your best opportunity to win right now at a time that, you know, you're 37 years old. And so, you know, this is all part of the conversation here. I think that ultimately Matthew Stafford may be willing to play for less with the Rams than he would potentially get with other teams. But, you know, this is all subject to further conversations. And ultimately, everybody needs to be on the same page. The Rams can't unilaterally trade him. Stafford can't unilaterally leave. There's got to be agreement among multiple parties about exactly how this is going to play out. And I do anticipate sometime in the next 24 to 72 hours, we are going to have resolution.
And do you think that he'll end up staying? What's your gut telling you on this one?
You know, my gut has changed several times here because the conversation has been evolving. You know, the Giants are the team that probably can offer the most in terms of draft pick compensation and even cash. The Raiders have the allure of, you know, starting fresh with a Super Bowl winning coach in Pete Carroll and Tom Brady running the show, a guy that Matthew Stafford bumped into in the exclusive ski resort where they both own a house in Montana recently, and maybe had a conversation. Who knows what they talked about, but maybe had a conversation about what it would look like coming to the Raiders here. It's just, you know, the Rams, from a family standpoint, to not uproot your family, much less move to the East Coast, from a football perspective, it makes sense. But I also know, and I go back to something, Susie, that, you know, Kirk Cousins said when he was in a situation with the Vikings about a year ago, he was a free agent at the time. But, you know, the Vikings had an interest in him, but just there was going to be a price cutoff where they weren't going to be able to keep him. And what Cousins had said was, it's not about what the dollars, it's about what the dollars represent. And I get the sense to a certain degree, Matthew Stafford is sitting there, you know, in the later stages of his career going, I've won a Super Bowl here. We go to the playoffs almost every year. You know, I'm clearly the best option you've got at quarterback. You won't pay me market value. You know, are they going to be able to kind of get over some of that stuff? That's why, you know, meeting face to face is going to be an important piece of this process. And it's going to drive us to have a resolution that's going to then allow the rest of this quarterback to market to play out, I would think, relatively quickly.
Yeah. And with four girls and with a life here and family, and it's really hard. I think people always forget that side of it, that there is so much to do with your family and whether you're comfortable and whether, and he knows, and they are set up. I mean, it's not like the Rams are rebuilding. I mean, they are set up in myriad ways. What about the Vikings franchise tag on Darnold? Do you think you're going to see that? Because I know the deadlines are due on Monday.
Right. Tuesday is the final cutoff, 4 p.m. Eastern time for teams to apply the franchise tag. And so you're right down to it here. You know, he has the same agency that Matthew Stafford does. And so, again, these parts are very much interconnected here. With Darnold, he's a younger player. He's 27 years old, coming off of a Pro Bowl, his best season on a one-year contract. And there's just not a lot of precedent out there for teams to let a guy like that walk for a future potential compensatory draft pick. And so, you know, in a perfect world, I believe, based on everything that I know and understanding the dynamics here, I believe the best outcome for everyone would be Matthew Stafford comes back to Minnesota. They're able to work out some type of a deal similar to like the Baker Mayfield deal in Tampa. After he went there, had a big year on a one-year contract. It wasn't a top of the market deal. It wasn't a bargain basement deal, but it was a good solid contract that gave him a one plus year guarantee. And then, you know, gave the Bucs the opportunity to kind of go year to year on that into the future. You know, the difference is the Vikings have their quarterback of the future, J.J. McCarthy, already on the roster. You know that his time is coming, but there's also no precedent for a 22-year-old quarterback, first-round pick, who missed his entire rookie season because of injury and all those reps to then come back. There's no track record on it. And so they've got some very unique dynamics at play here. There has been certainly real conversation about using the tag on Sam Darnold. But if you tag Darnold, you also run the risk that he could run in immediately, sign it, be due about $40 million fully guaranteed in 2025. And at a time that the Vikings also need to address the interior of their offensive line, they're trying to get Aaron Jones back, their entire starting secondary are free agents. And then all of a sudden, if you're eating up $40 million of the cap and you don't really have any flexibility with that, that could create some challenges. I know this, the way that Kwesi Adofo-Mensah thinks about this, he comes from a quantitative background, and it's about how do we put together a roster that is going to be championship caliber around the quarterback, whoever that might be. Last year, the answer was we're going to get Darnold for $10 million, we're going to draft somebody, and then we're going to spend the money, go out. And they had a very good free agency with Andrew Van Ginkle and Blake Cashman and Aaron Jones, among others, a bunch of impact players, Jonathan Grenard. That's how they put it together, and it worked really well, and they won 14 games. This time around, does it make sense to go out and spend $30, $35, $40 million, maybe more on Sam Darnold? Or do you go, we'll bring in Daniel Jones on a similar type of contract that Darnold had, let him duke it out in camp with J.J. McCarthy and find out what's happening? You know, a tag and trade, Susie, also can't be ruled out here if they feel like there's a real market. So big decisions ahead in the next 72 hours or so.
Tom Pelissero joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich. What do you think the Titans plan to do at number one?
It's a fantastic question. I think that the best possible outcome in the Titans' minds would be somebody comes to them with the type of offer for the number one pick that leaves them no choice, and you just have to take it and build for the future, pick up additional first-round draft picks, and then, you know, figure out how far you're dropping. Is one of those quarterbacks there at that point? Do you get the best position player available and move forward but get significant value out of it? The issue is in this draft, I don't know, and maybe people will feel different about Cam Ward by the time we get to the last week of April, but I don't know that there's a quarterback or any position player that people are just going to clamor for and want to give up multiple future first-round picks to go up a spot or two or three and take the guy. So, you know, the Titans will have, I believe they'll take this as far into the process as they need to, continue to listen to potential offers for the number one pick. When it comes right down to it, you know, they've got some various pressures there. They've got a new GM in Mike Borgonzi. They got a second-year coach in Brian Callahan. They had the worst record in the NFL last season. They're building a stadium. The ownership wants to have some excitement surrounding that stadium. You need to face the franchise type of player. You also need a quarterback. And there's not a lot out there in terms of quarterbacks if you're talking about free agency. Maybe in trades, maybe some of the older players who are available could be alluring there. I just believe they need to be fully convinced. And if they're not sold on Cam Ward, or if it's Shadur, or, you know, I still think there's a realistic possibility that one of these other quarterbacks who is throwing, Cam and Shadur or not, but one of these quarterbacks who is throwing at the combine, whether that's Jackson Dart or Quinn Ewers, one of those guys could vault themselves into the QB2, if not the QB1 situation. If they just aren't sold on any of those guys, you know, Travis Hunter is such a dynamic player. You know, and Abdul Carter, obviously he's been dealing with a couple of different injury things here of late. But if you're sold on that guy as Chad Brinker might have referred to him as the transformational player that makes you not want to move out of that pick. If you just think that guy's the best one to take, then you sit and want to do it. I think, though, you put yourself in a really tough spot if you take a quarterback at number one that you are not 100% sold on, because you only get one swing at these things. Very few GMs get a second opportunity to draft the franchise quarterback. Even though it's Mike Borgonzi's first year, you know, there's certainly going to be a lot of focus on how he and Chad Brinker and Brian Callahan and the rest of the brain trust there, how they navigate this thing. I do think that Travis Hunter is probably the one that we have talked about the least. I've seen all the mock drafts with Abdul Carter going number one. I've seen all of the, you know, the quarterback speculation, namely with Cam Ward. There's never been a cornerback taken number one overall in the modern draft history. But Travis Hunter is more than a cornerback. You know, this guy could be the closest thing that we've seen in terms of a two-way player since Deion Sanders, who was his college head coach 30 years ago. If you just think this dude is so rare that he's going to be the one who can guide you forward, and then you kind of, you know, you scrap it together, whatever you need to do with the quarterbacks, maybe looking 2026 for the QB, I think you got to really be reluctant about just saying, well, we have to get a quarterback right here at the expense of missing out on somebody who can be a generational talent.
You're 100% right. That's how I see it. I don't know how you possibly pass him if you can possibly get him. What did you think of Shador Sanders this morning and his comments at the combine?
I wouldn't expect anything less from Shador. He's a very, very confident individual. You know, talking about, if you don't want a franchise changer, don't take me. I've done it at two different schools. Why wouldn't I do it in the NFL again? I mean, that's exactly, just for the people who had done all the background on Shador, not that it's even, you know, a negative in everyone's minds, but that hyper confidence, that's a part of the makeup of Shador Sanders. You know, he's not thrown at the combine, which is not a surprise. Neither is Cam Ward. With Shador, a lot of what people are digging into, from just what I've heard, I haven't done my deep dives yet on the quarterback class. I like to do that after pro days and after everybody gets to spend more time with them. But the real questions going into the process were just about, you know, what is his dominant trait? He's not the biggest guy. He doesn't have the biggest arm. He is accurate with the football. But, you know, you watch on tape, there are a lot of sacks. Is that on the offensive line? Is that on him holding the ball, you know, forever? How good is he at processing? I'm sure teams are grilling him on the board. Then just getting a feel. Anytime you've got a really big personality like that, particularly a quarterback, obviously Shador's been in the spotlight for virtually his entire life based on being Deion Sanders' son. You know, are you comfortable with that type of a, you know, a guy being your franchise quarterback? I really do believe, Susie, that there are going to be some variants from board to board around the NFL. You know, QB1 maybe, but certainly in QB2, because, you know, Quinn Ewers in particular, he played almost all last season with what I was told was an oblique tear. He hurt it against Michigan. It got worse the next week, got worse and worse through the course of the season. He's finally healthy now. He's put on weight. He's up to like 215 pounds. He's been watching tape with Mike McCarthy over the past week. I talked to Mike, and he couldn't say enough good stuff about Quinn Ewers as a young man, the attentiveness. Mike said, like, I'm like a kid in an ice cream shop. I could talk all day, every day with this guy just about football and scheme. He's going to impress people through the interview process. You know, is it possible? I don't know that he's going to be QB1. But, you know, could he end up being QB2? I think it would surprise a lot of external observers. But just talking to people within the league, you know, if you can get past some of like the little ticky-tack injuries that Ewers has had basically every year of his career. He hasn't had major injuries, but he's had something. Mm-hmm. He's played a lot of big games, man. I know that if Rich were in the chair, he'd remember one not so fondly.
Yeah, he remembers,
but, you know,
he's been
one. In the playoff twice.
He does remember one that took place in a certain big house only too well.
Exactly. I mean, he's, you know, and he stepped up. And I mean, think of this too, Susie. There's so many guys who, especially in the current, you know, the modern era of college football, all they hear about, all Quinn Ewers heard about for 2 years was Arch Manning and why aren't they playing him, and the constant pressure on Sark. He's just, every time the game's not going well, get Ewers out, play Arch. Quinn Ewers not only didn't transfer and run away from it, he stayed and he succeeded. I mean, that's stuff that's gonna sit well with teams. I don't know. There could be boards on which Shador Sanders is the number one quarterback. We're still really, really early in this process. But if I were sitting here right now and I had to give you my educated guess, Susie, I would say that Cam Ward, by and large, is QB1 for teams. There are some questions the teams are going to need to answer on him as well. He's not the tallest guy, doesn't have the best body. I know I talked to his quarterback coach, Darrell Colbert Jr., who actually also trained Shadur. Really rare situation where the same guy's been coaching both these guys throughout their college and even going back to high school with Shadur. But he said, yeah, you know, Cam's, he's worked on his body. He's been really dedicated with nutritionists. So it'll be interesting to see, even though he's not throwing on the field, kind of what does he look like through the process? Because, I mean, anybody who watched one quarter of Miami football last year knows that guy can sling it. He's pretty fun to watch. And somebody's going to have a really intriguing project. It's just a matter of how high are you willing to draft him.
Yeah, and on Cam Ward, he was also flirting really heavy this morning with the Browns. I mean, a lot of compliments on their offensive line, and he's laying it on thick there. He was performing exactly as he should be at the microphone. What do you got, Brockman?
Yeah, speaking of the Browns, look, Tom, are the Eagles really going to get Myles Garrett? Like, this is stupid. We can't let them do this. Howie Roseman is turning into the Heisenberg. He can't keep getting away with this. Is this going to happen?
I would just tell you this, Brockman. I talked to everyone I could at the Combine about Myles Garrett and all the top stories. But Myles is a really unique one because you're talking about an absolute superstar, maybe the best in the league, former defensive player of the year, 30 years old. He's got good years left. You know, and the Browns, as I said, the day that he made the trade request, the Browns stand ready to make him the highest paid non-quarterback. This is not about money. Myles does not want to be in Cleveland. The Browns, though, every time they've been asked, and when people have talked to Andrew Berry, when they've called, if they call, they don't get a call back. If they talk to Andrew Berry in person, Berry makes abundantly clear, I am not trading him. There's still time for things to evolve, conversations to occur. I would say the real touchstone, yeah, you'd like to, you know, from a dollars perspective, you would like to think if you're getting Myles Garrett, you're doing it before free agency. Just so you know, you don't have to spend on a different edge player. You don't have to, you know, you've got, you know that you don't have to conserve the cap resources to potentially get him later. But the real cutoff in my mind would be the draft, because if the Browns were to change their minds, because again, right now, they are not trading Myles Garrett. If they were to change their minds, I would certainly think that would occur ideally before the draft, because otherwise, if you're trading Myles Garrett, you're talking about multiple first-round picks as the starting point. Well, first-round picks in 2026 and 2027 don't help the 2025 Browns, who need all the help that they can get here. If they're going to bend on this, I would think that potentially it could be a draft week thing sometime as we get closer to late April. I would say, you know, again, ideally you'd like to resolve it before the start of free agency, but in the Browns' mind, at least in Andrew Berry's mind, there already is a resolution, which is I'm not trading the guy. We got him under contract for two more years. He's not going to sit out. He's not going to, you know, he wants to be a Hall of Famer. He's probably headed that direction. He's not going to sit out games. We're going to sit and wait, and we're going to do other things that maybe help convince Myles to get back in the fold. Obviously, neither side, they're both dug in on opposite ends of the spectrum right now, and we'll see as these coming weeks play out whether or not that changes.
I mean, I'm just shaking my head here because...
But the Eagles, like, come on.
Well, don't be so bitter. Come on.
Well, remember
I don't
this,
care. I picked them to win. I'm just saying.
You know, beyond that, if you're the Eagles, and I'm not saying the Eagles shouldn't explore it. Howie's in on every deal. That's the one thing. Anytime there's rumors like the Eagles are interested in Myles Garrett, the Eagles would be interested in any player who plausibly becomes available. And Howie's always going to call. He's always going to say, hey, let me know if you end up doing something here. And everybody knows they get that call from Howie. It's not that he's not serious. It's that he always wants to know what's happening just in case there's an opportunity. He doesn't want to not get the call and be like, dude, why didn't you call me?
Right.
I might have been in on that.
Sure.
So I would anticipate he asked. But remember, Howie is drafted unbelievably well in recent years. I mean, look no further than the Super Bowl when they manhandled the Chiefs on both sides of the football. It's because of the investment they've made in the offensive and defensive line, the number of high picks here. Eventually, you got to pay Jalen Carter. You got to maybe pay. We'll see what happens with Milton Williams, who's going to get a bag in free agency. You got to pay maybe Zach Bond. I know they'd like to pay Zach Bond, but can they actually get that done? You know, at some point, it's like all that additional money to go and get, you know, go and get Myles Garrett. I'm not saying it's impossible, but you're talking about really, you know, bending physics here in terms of the salary cap. So, you know, it's the same thing with the Lions. I know that everybody keeps going, are the Lions going to get Myles Garrett? Well, they're going to have another $35 million a year pass rusher in Aiden Hutchinson in the not-too-distant future. He's eligible for a contract extension right now. And I would think Detroit at least has to give mine to, we should do this deal before Myles and Micah Parsons and Max Crosby and T.J. Watt and maybe Trey Henderson all get 35 plus, because that's going to be even more expensive. You know, no team I'm aware of has two $35 million pass rushers on their team. You just have to remember that in terms of the way the cap is set up. And yes, you can manipulate it, but the cap is real. Every dollar you spend hits the salary cap eventually here. Again, nothing's impossible. There are ways to work it. I've just never seen a team invest that much money, particularly teams like the Eagles and Lions, who have homegrown guys that they're going to pay.
Tom, thanks as always for your time.
You got it.
Grande latte for you.
Grande latte.
No one knows music like Rolling Stone. Senior writer Brian Hyatt talks the biggest music news from the biggest stars.
Almost everyone is teaming up on Drake. It's like Drake versus the world.
Yeah.
You first met Prince, you were driving for him before you were drumming for him.
That's correct.
Stevie Wonder!
You kind of have to understand how Stevie began.
White radio. That's where the money was. That's where it still is. You know what I'm saying?
Rolling Stone Music Now. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Last time you gave out the trophy, looked like you were giving it to Seattle, and then New England showed up on the podium. And you just when you thought it can't get any better than that, then came last year's comeback and first overtime game.
But when you think of being on the sidelines, so I'm behind the goalpost as Seattle sends the play in. Mm-hmm. And as I watch this unfold in slow motion, I think there's a run pass option with Russell Wilson. That's what I think is going to happen. And I see him get ready to throw, and I went, oh my God, he can't. They just lost the Super Bowl. So I'm watching this. Then the other time was when the Giants played the Patriots, and Eli has the pass to Manningham. Manningham is right in front of me as I'm on the sidelines, because I'm getting, as soon as the game's over, I'm on the field, on the podium. I mean, it happens fast. The other one was the Cardinals take the lead on the Steelers. I'm on the sidelines with Steve Young. And all of a sudden, Steve is doing play-by-play with Roethlisberger. So I got a Hall of Fame quarterback who's analyzing Roethlisberger, saying you don't realize how brilliant this was. You have the touchdown pass. I go to the podium. I don't even know. Like, I'm thinking, I got, you know, Bidwell I got to interview, yeah, and Kurt Warner and Larry Fitzgerald. And next thing I know, I'm on the podium. I don't know who the MVP is of that Super Bowl with the Steelers and the Cardinals. I'm yelling down to anybody. Who's the MVP? And nobody's talking to me. I got Roethlisberger here, who I think he thinks is the MVP.
Oh, my.
And I got the commissioner here. Joe Namath is getting ready to bring the trophy. That's and me. I have no idea who the MVP is. So I'm yelling, anybody, who's the MVP?
Right.
It's Antonio Holmes. Thank you. Because I wanted it. I think Ben thought he was going to be the MVP, and I didn't want it to be awkward. Where I go, and it should have been Ben.
Yeah, I mean,
it should have been Ben.
He was making all those throws.
It was an unbelievable catch. That 2-minute drill with Ben is underrated, how great that was. But the chaos that goes on after the game, and then it's over. And then you walk off the field. And I've never felt prouder than the first time I ever did it when I was in Tampa, because I didn't tell my brothers or sisters. Nobody in my family knew I was handing out the trophy.
Damn.
And I walked off, and I remember checking my phone, and my brothers and sisters were like, awesome, awesome.
Back on Roku, and TJ, this is a tart one this morning, huh? I mean,
okay, you guys.
Are you one in or two in? Where are we?
Two.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, after the bottle just mysteriously opened on its own earlier, I mean, we had to start drinking.
It's like Ghostbusters.
That was a sign from God.
That was a sign. That was Shador giving you a what's up, right? That was crazy.
Sign from God.
Felly, where's yours? You're a one or two? You
know, I don't know. TJ prepared it for me.
I put enough for two in the one.
Christopher, you just having a donut?
Yeah.
No mimosa?
No mimosas.
What's your Starbucks order?
Don't drink coffee.
That's right. That's why you are a psychopath. I forgot about that. That is so insane. When I met Rich, he didn't drink coffee either. And I fixed that pretty fast. Poor Rich, right? I mean,
this won't do.
No, this. What do you mean you don't drink coffee? Coffee is the greatest.
Speaking of Rich.
Uh-oh. Is this time to rank my husband? I only have one.
No, you only have one. But
that we know of.
You know, Rich told us to ask you something I tried to get out of you. You know, we'll save it for later, though. We'll save it for later.
You always try, and yet you never, ever
let you finish that
try in the second glass.
Right?
All right, guys, here's a riddle for you. What do yoga mats, a toothbrush, and a Hyundai have in common? I will give you a moment, and that is up. If you guessed they're all fun, well-designed, and super useful, you guessed wrong. The answer is you can order all these things on Amazon. And the best part, you won't even have to break down a car-sized Amazon box after, because you'll pick up your Hyundai at the dealer. Hyundai, now available on Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Limited availability. Pick up at a participating Hyundai dealer in select markets. Now, there's a whole lot of, like, I'll believe it when I see it. And this is going to be a I'll believe it when I see it. Ryan Glasspiegel says.
Yes. This is
X,
unbelievable.
Glasspiegel.
Bill Belichick and UNC will be featured on off-season Hard Knocks after NFL Films could not find an NFL team to do it.
This is amazing.
After their debacle last year, sources tell at FOS. Now, let me just make this abundantly clear.
Front office sports, yeah.
So front office sports.
This is like pretty legit.
It's pretty legit. I believe that they have a problem finding a team. I don't believe that Bill Belichick will say yes. Is this the girlfriend working? What's happening here?
No. You know what this is? So this is the 31 other teams being like, okay, we just saw how badly exposed that the Giants just got. And heaven forbid that we don't know this, but maybe we're shown to be as competent as they were in handling Saquon and completely fumbling all of that, right? And then this
nice use of fumbling, by the way.
And then thank you. And then this is Bill being like, "Oh, you don't want me in the NFL anymore, and I refused all those years to do Hard Knocks, and I was a jerk at the podium and the post games and on to Cincinnati. Watch this." Watch how awesome things are at UNC. Look how hilarious I am and gregarious and how everyone loves me. And watch me work. Watch me cook. This is what you're missing out on, NFL, by not blackballing, but freezing.
You know how uncomfortable Bill is when he laughs?
Bill is actually hilarious.
I know, but this is going to absolutely
crush. And this is going to be hilarious. And look at my hot girlfriend and watch all my buddies. And we're building this program. This is going to be amazing.
This is going to be one of the greatest hot messes in the history of television.
I cannot wait.
I know you can't wait. This. Do you like reality shows? Do you like being uncomfortable watching stuff?
I used to watch all that stuff before. I don't remember a life before a child.
Right.
As I'm sure you can relate. But yeah, all that stuff is great. Real World, we grew up watching all of that stuff. It's great.
I'm already sweating thinking about this.
The offseason Hard Knocks with the Giants was the best edition of Hard Knocks there's ever been.
Because people love seeing hot messes. And I guarantee you, TJ, I just get this overwhelming feeling that this will be a nightmare. Or, as you'll say, you think this is all about Bill showing the NFL, look at me.
This is Bill.
Like, here's my hot girlfriend.
This is Bill saying, look how big my Belichick is.
Wow.
And
what do you mean by
this
that?
This is going to be, just wait.
What do you mean by that?
Just wait. Look at all my rings and how big my boat is. Oh, have you seen my hot girlfriend? Have I mentioned her?
Oh, that's a cheat code.
Just wait. This is what this is. You didn't want me, NFL? Watch this.
Yeah, watch this.
Watch the master at work. I had said before that the Eagles should do this, but just as kind of an FU to
Thank
the Giants,
you,
which would be funny.
That's what I was thinking too.
Thank you. Right? Right?
This is great. This is the only thing better than the Eagles doing it is Bill doing it. And now we get it. Oh, I cannot wait.
But with kids, it's weird now. I mean, now there's got to be legal issues with having a kid on this too. Like, these are kids playing. Yes,
what do you mean,
NIL.
Kids? They're
NIL.
Adults.
They're adults.
18, though.
They're adults.
Ish. I don't
know. What do you mean?
Not a fan of this whole thing.
You can vote and go to war. You're an adult.
True story.
You can be on a reality show. A lot of these kids are already showcasing their lives 24/7 on Instagram and TikTok anyway. They all have YouTube channels. Like, this is just for the mass football
this is like
consumption.
Hawk Tua on steroids.
She disappeared, by the way. Have you noticed that?
If she was my kid, I'd lock her in her door, I'd lock her in her like bedroom and be like, "You're not getting out." That's all I could think about when I saw that
Come
video.
On.
I'm like, where's the dad?
We've been wanting Belichick on Hard Knocks for 20 years.
Yes, and now we're going to get him with a bunch of kids at UNC. This is just weird.
Yeah, but they're not the stars. Bill is the star.
Bill should have gone.
You
to
don't
Dallas.
Know that. You think they're really going to let Bill's really going to let them 24/7 film him at the crib with?
I don't
girl?
Think Bill cares. Bill's There's 73
no
and
way.
Has four rings on each middle finger.
A leopard doesn't change all those spots right? that fast. No, I don't
ah,
think
see, but
so.
Bill's a chameleon. Bill showed you what you wanted. He wanted you to see. At the podium
so
and in the press.
So you think he won't do that with this show? He's not going to just show you what he wants you to see?
Did yeah. you watch the Belichick and Saban doc? Like,
yeah.
Dude's got it.
Let's make a bet. I think you're totally wrong.
Okay.
And I'm almost always right, but that's just
That's just you.
That's just yeah. reality.
Wealth building expert Candy Valentino paves the path to success.
I'm sorry, you're a human with a heart and lungs. There's no price tag that you can put on a service that you offer. And everyone that I know, every entrepreneur, they all have one common goal. You want to strive to be like the Ritz-Carlton of your industry. Do the work, take the time to really understand and master these things. It's really essential to your path for success.
The Candy Valentino Show. Time to invest in your future. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.